on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YokeCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How you doing? We're back for another edition of the YokeCast podcast. Each and every week, every Thursday, new podcast episode comes out. Conversations with student athletes, coaches, administrators. You got somebody in mind who's got a great story that you think we should share their story on the YokeCast podcast to Coyote fans everywhere? Let us know. Reach out. We'd love to hear from you and hear the great stories that some of our student athletes have that are right now untold and maybe need to be shared more with our fan base. We're always excited to share those stories. This week, we got a chance to catch up with Matt Walsh. He is a guy who has just grinded things out in his career, and he has waited in the wings. He's been a special teams guy, and now he gets the opportunity to be a feature part of the defense, and he's done it well up to this point. He is the leading tackler for the Coyotes through three games. He has an interception. He's been credited for a half a sack and half a TFL. I mean, this is a young man who's grinded out. These are the stories we love in college athletics. You know, he's wanted an opportunity a little bit sooner, been kind of waiting in the wings and just kept fighting, kept grinding, and here we are, an opportunity to be, really a key piece to this Coyote defense. So great chat with him coming up in the podcast. And then had a chance to catch up with Chuck Reed, talked to him about the Drake Bulldogs. Drake is 1-1 on the season. They played Division II Upper Iowa, dominated in that game, and then hung in with South Dakota State. Had that a two-score lead in the second half, or two-score deficit, I should say, in the second half, and then fell at South Dakota State last week. They're reeling a little bit with injuries, but we had a chance to chat about the Drake Bulldogs and a preview of what South Dakota is going to see on Saturday. Let's get it started with Matt Walsh. He, of course, is from the great state of Illinois and a redshirt senior defensive back, linebacker, kind of a hybrid, as he'll call it, a Swiss Army knife. Had a great chat with him to talk about what he's done the last several years waiting for this opportunity. Matt, the team coming off of first win of the season and one heck of a victory. Obviously, a lot of people talk about a couple of things from that game. LJ had a great rushing performance with 300 yards. Boy, that defense stood up with some phenomenal goal line stands throughout the entire game. What have the first three games been like? You know, new head coach, some new position coaches, things like that. Feels like this team has really been trying to adapt to one another.
Yeah, thanks for having me, John. But yeah, these past three games have been, you know, a big adjustment for me. I'm not used to this big role, so a lot of new guys stepping into new roles, and it's just been awesome to see all these new guys, filling out the roles and helping out the team.
Take us through some of those goal line stands, specifically there at the end that forced the tying field goal for Northern Colorado. The defense really stood up tall, and you're not afraid to get downhill and get your nose in there. I know Gabe Hardman was in there. That D-line has been really good this year. What goes into kind of the thought process when you're trying to make that big stop there at the end?
Well, we're always communicating to each other, like one more down, two more downs. I mean, we're kind of just against the ropes, and everyone's got each other's back, so really just communicating with the other guys around you, like the defensive ends, the corner on your side, the safety, Wade, and yeah, really just trusting the other guys around you to make a play.
You mentioned you're not quite used to the bigger role that you've had through three games. You lead South Dakota in tackles with 25. You've got an interception the first of your career. You've been credited with a half a sack this season. Some of that, what has this year been like for you personally as you see all of the time that you've spent in this program pay off and now getting this opportunity to shine?
Yeah, I mean, I think a big part of that is just, you know, fresh start. It's my last year. I kind of wanted to just go all in for my last year. I got a new coach with Coach Kirch, and I think that's been really helpful. Personally, he's an awesome guy, and he really just teaches me the game like a whole nother way, and I get to look at everything a lot differently now. But yeah, I think my confidence has just skyrocketed through that. I know Coach Johansson trusts me a ton now, and it's really comfortable to have that. And I know all the guys around me trust me, and we all trust each other, so it really works out.
You spent the last 3 years, you know, you had a redshirt year, and then the last 3 years you played in a ton of games. But I don't know how many people have gotten to know your name yet because most of it was on special teams, and yep. You made some phenomenal special teams plays.
Is it hard grinding through a career playing special teams and wanting more opportunities on defense, but knowing that, you know, there's a lot of guys, a lot of mouths to feed, if you will, that kind of thing? What's kind of the challenging process of that as you continue to work and work and work and wait for that opportunity?
Yeah, that was honestly never easy. I mean, playing special teams is obviously super fun. I'm all for it, but it gets really repetitive over time. And when you're back in the depth chart, you're behind like seventh year guys, sixth year guys, it could get hard, and there could be self-doubt there for sure. But you just got to remember to trust the process, keep working. And, you know, obviously I waited for my time to come. It took 5 years, but I think it really paid off, and I'm glad I stuck it out.
You've kind of been mixed into a linebacker role, a little bit of a safety role, kind of a hybrid over the last couple of years. How would you explain your position to someone?
That's pretty hard to do, honestly. I play a few different positions right now. I guess you could say I'm kind of like a Swiss Army knife, but it's fun. You get to fly around different spots on third downs. Got to get your signal. You got to get the call. And, yeah, I could be lined up really anywhere at this point. But, yeah, that makes the game even more enjoyable, and you get to lock in different calls and different positions, and it makes it all more fun.
Take us through a play. Like, when the offense comes to the line of scrimmage, what are you looking for? You've got, obviously, generally some run responsibility you want to stop, but you've got to always be aware of a specific player that you might have in pass pro and some of that. Mm-hmm. What are you looking for when the offense comes to the line of scrimmage?
Well, when they first break the huddle, my first job is I always get the personnel so we know what, like, type of plays they could possibly be running. I always have to say the down and distance to the whole defense. But, yeah, each week we usually have a couple of guys that we know they're going to try to get the ball to, so that helps a lot. We usually adjust the defense based off them, and that's really all it is, yeah.
I don't think you wear it, but what has the helmet communication added to the defense where they can, you know, radio in to the linebackers, generally one of the linebackers, and then use that communication?
Yeah, that's been different. I like it a lot, honestly. I'm right next to Wade, the mic, so it works out. I'm 2 feet from him, so. But I know it's probably not easy on him. He's trying to listen to the call. The dome's rocking. He's screaming the call to everyone, but I like it. I personally like it. It makes my job easier. I hear the call and I'm ready to go. But like I said, guys on the other side of the field, I don't know how they're liking it.
Yeah.
But Wade's out there screaming every play like 50 times, and it's pretty funny.
You got to communicate, and you talked about that. That's a big name of the game. And you talked about it, like the dome rocking, especially late in the game where they're trying to make the noise to make it tough on the offense for Northern Colorado or whoever we're going to play inside the dome. How does the defense communicate when you could probably hardly even hear yourself think?
Yeah, I mean, it does get really loud, but I mean, especially recently, we've been trying to incorporate hand signals way more, so you've probably noticed that a little bit. Those help a ton, but yeah, I mean, that's really all you could do when it's really that loud. I mean, Wade's screaming the call 50 times. People are doing all types of hand signals. That's all we could really do to, you know, get lined up before the snap.
First interception of your career came at Lamar. It came off of a deflection. You were in the right spot at the right time. Take us through that play where you just thinking, man, I got to catch this thing.
Yeah, I mean, I was just running with my guy. I saw the ball get tipped, and it went right into my chest. My guy, Kanan Crawford, tipped it for me, so shout out to him. But, yeah, it felt really good. Early on in the game, we were trying to, you know, start off the game really fast, and that's how you start off fast, right?
Through high school, you played both in the secondary and wide receiver. Were you always wanting to be more of a defensive guy? Did you have a future maybe at wide receiver?
I honestly never really had a preference. You know, I was recruited to some like NAI schools, D3 schools around my house to play receiver, and that's what I was kind of set on doing. But I ended up getting a call from here, and they're like, hey, you can come walk on here. So actually the day I signed my letter to play for another D3 school, yeah, I got a call from South Dakota. Yeah, come walk on here. I was like, okay, I'll do that. I kind of just went with my gut last second. Haven't looked back since, so it worked out.
Go through that process. You get some offers for scholarships, and, you know, a lot of people, their dream is to play at the highest level they possibly can. Yeah. You chose to be a walk-on when you could have probably gotten money somewhere else. Go through that process with us. Why be a walk-on at South Dakota versus, you know, maybe somewhere else where it wouldn't have been 3 years on special teams?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, a big part of it was Coach Taylor and Coach Johansson. I really liked their view and just their mindset going and everything surrounding football. So that was obviously a huge part of it. But I just had a gut feeling, honestly. Like, it was pretty crazy. I never knew about South Dakota. I couldn't even tell you where South Dakota was. I didn't know anyone that's ever been to the state, but end up going with it, and yeah, love the freshman class I came in with, and from the first week I was here, I never like really looked back at all. It really worked out. wasn't easy at first, you know, being a walk-on, but once you get adjusted, it's awesome. There's awesome people out here, so.
And then you're always trying to earn that opportunity, always trying to earn a scholarship, right?
Yep, yeah.
What's it like as you go through some of these fall camps, you see some of these guys who, you know, get rewarded with scholarship after they put in some time here?
Yeah, that's awesome. I know a couple guys got that opportunity this year, like Big Chris, Reed. That's awesome to see because I know exactly the feeling they're going through. And you know, no one really knows how hard it is to be a walk-on unless you are a walk-on. So just I have all the respect in the world for Chris and Reed, you know, working their butts off and getting that scholarship because it's the best feeling ever. So
you talked about, you know, the opportunity at South Dakota and you just liked the vision and you've never looked back. Throughout your career, we talked about, you know, the playing special teams and now getting the chance on defense. Why stay here for all these years? What have you liked about this place and this opportunity that whether it was one big year that you could have or two big years, whatever it was going to be, that you were going to keep working and get this opportunity?
Yeah, I think just from even when I first got here, there's just always been a cool mentality around this building. There's always just been like that blue-collar mindset going around, especially defensively. And I've just, like I've said earlier, I love all the coaches. I love their mindsets. And I think they just do a good job, like, spreading the standard and, you know, keeping the young guys on top, like, with the older guys, if that makes sense. Ever since I got here, we always had really good leaders, like guys like Jack Cochran, Brock Mogensen. I mean, Elijah Reed. I mean, when we first got here, it was just so easy to adjust this lifestyle just because of guys like them. So I think the coaches do a good job just recruiting leaders and teaching leaders like how to lead. And I think that's a huge part of it.
So a lot of people that'll say, you know, the rules of football now are all skewed towards the offense and defensive players have a difficult time. You're going in to hit someone. You want to make a play for your team. And sometimes you get put in a tough spot and you got to be careful of targeting and all of that stuff. Do you think of that in the moment? What is the preparation leading up to games and leading up to a season to try to put yourself in the best position to not, you know, get some of those fouls?
Yeah, I mean, it is pretty scary to think about when you're not out there, but when you're in the moment, you're not really thinking about it, which makes it even scarier because you could just be going to make a play, and obviously you want to play through the reception area, you want to tackle the guy, you want to hit the guy, but yeah, they throw that flag so easily. You look at Wade, 2 weeks ago? I mean, that's pretty scary stuff, how we could just lose our Mike linebacker just like that off a little play like that. But yeah, it's pretty scary.
I'm sure as a defender, you would love this. I know a lot of people have talked, man, there should be two different fouls. Like one, if you're, you know, you make a hit, they can call targeting, but not eject a player necessarily. Yeah. If you're not trying to use your helmet as a weapon. Yeah. Have you thought about some of that?
Yeah, no, I think they should implement something like that for sure. Because, you know, a lot of those times that those calls are being called, it's not intentional at all. I think more times than not, players are just trying to get the ball out and, you know, put good stuff on film and obviously make a play. So kind of stinks that kids will make a good play and then they get a 15-yard penalty and then they're thrown out for the next game for a little bit. It's just, I don't think it's very fair, but I see where they're coming from.
Yeah,
I think there should be a fine line between unnecessary roughness and, you know, targeting calls, kind of like what you said.
Yeah, so it's always an adjustment and it's tough, a subjective call, certainly. You know, this program's coming off of a couple of years where they've gone as far as they ever have or further than they ever have, quarterfinals and then, of course, the semifinals. Last year came into the season. I know a lot of people have expectations, and it hasn't gotten off to the start that you guys wanted, but there's a lot of new guys on the defense. You know, we talked about that. New guys playing roles that they haven't played before, new defensive coordinator. How much growth have you seen in this defensive unit in the last three games?
Oh, there's been so much growth, and it's happening so fast. That's one of the coolest parts about it, because there's so many new guys taking in new roles, and when you look around, people are just slowly developing. Everyone's developing at a pretty fast right now compared to the spring versus now. I mean, we're making giant leaps, and it's still happening every weekend in the season, so that's good to see that people are still going to be developing throughout the whole season.
No weeks off until the end of the regular season for your team. And I know you guys go out there and play hard, man. Fans want to see you guys just go out there and play hard, and you're out there and you're wrecking your body. How do you keep your body right all week long and get it right so that you can go out and try to play at a high level on Saturdays?
I mean, our training staff's doing an unbelievable job right now. Brooke and Grant are super understaffed, and they still find a way to get all of our bodies right and treat every single kid on this football team. It's really awesome to see. Obviously, Coach Shaver's doing a really good job. I mean, we have an awesome fueling station right now, and they're just always open to questions, and they're always just out there to help you. They do whatever they can to help us all day, every day. So we're just really lucky to have them, because not really sure what we'd do without them.
I know you're locked in on the season right now. Have you thought about the future and if football can continue in your future?
I mean, yeah, if that's a possibility, I'll pursue football for as long as I can and for as long as my body holds up. But I'm still kind of narrowing down options post-football. I'm kind of just thinking about the season, and I'll go from there after and figure some stuff out.
If it doesn't work out, you're a criminal justice major. What led you down that path, and what would you like to do with it?
I originally started as a kinesiology major, and I was going to pursue a PT school. I ended up not wanting to do that, and I thought criminal justice had some jobs that, you know, interested me for sure. So I pursued that. I've always thought about possibly going into policing, but, you know, we'll see. I recently had a job at the middle school, and I was doing lunch duty every day. So that kind of inspired me to get into teaching. So I'm actually getting some history credits right now, and I might do some subbing after football. So we'll see. I'm really just narrowing down options right now. I'll figure everything out after the season for sure.
Got a lot of options, yeah. A lot of different irons in the fire, if you will, for future opportunities.
Yep.
What makes you want to get into, teaching? You talked about doing a little lunch duty and some of that. Have you always been someone who enjoys being around kids?
No, I mean, honestly, it's funny you say that. I never once really considered teaching. This year I got a job at the middle school. I was like, yeah, maybe I can do this. Maybe coach some football. I think that would be the dream. My mom is also a teacher, so she's always trying to get me to do it too. And I've talked to a lot of people I have taught in their careers, and I feel like every single person says it's just the best job there is. So, I mean, yeah, I think it's definitely something to consider for me.
You've seen guys you've played with end up right back here on this staff as a coach or other staffs, things like that. Have you thought about that and the connections that you have just within the program?
Yeah, that's definitely a possibility I've thought of. But like I said, we'll see. And that's definitely something I'll talk to the coaches about and consider, though.
Growing as a leader on this defense right now, what's your message to this defensive unit as they keep trying to find an opportunity and find ways to keep playing at a very high level? What's been your message to this group?
I think one message would be just keep grinding it out. I mean, everyone's always talking about we don't have a whole lot of depth, and you know, we have a bunch of younger guys stepping into roles, but I think everyone's 100% prepared for anything that's coming our way this year. We all just got to keep playing with heart and keep grinding this thing out.
We're excited to see where it goes. Matt, thanks for the time. Really appreciate it. Good luck this week and the rest of the year.
Thanks for having me, John.
That's Matt Walsh. He plays a little bit of linebacker, a little bit of safety. He'll be all over the field on defense, the leading tackler through three games for South Dakota. And stories I just love. A guy who was here, he kept playing special teams, kept grinding, got a few opportunities, but now really a chance to be a feature part of this Coyote defense. So cheer on number 13, Matt Walsh, here throughout the course of the season. Chuck Reed is the radio play-by-play voice of the Drake Bulldogs. Drake 1-1 on the season. Coyotes will take on them. It's the second straight week Drake is going into a blackout situation. Of course, last week at South Dakota State, this week now at South Dakota. Had a chance to catch up with Chuck Reed, talk to him about the Drake Bulldogs. Chuck, the season off to a start for Drake, an interesting start to the season. You open up a few weeks ago, then get a week off, and then go to the number two team in the FCS in South Dakota State. 1-1 on the season. Was it kind of a strange start with the early game and then a week off right away before game two?
Yeah, it's been a very strange start to the season scheduling-wise for us. You mentioned bye week in week two. Then we play two games, South Dakota State and South Dakota, two trips to South Dakota for the weekend. And then we have another bye week. And we don't play a home game in September. I've never seen that before. We opened August 28th, and our next home game is not till October 4th. So kind of a strange start schedule-wise to the schedule, two bye weeks after just three games, and then we play 8 weeks in a row. So kind of a weird schedule to get things going.
Of course, under direction of first-year head coach Joe Woodley, came over from Des Moines at NAIA Grandview, where he spent a number of years, had a great deal of success. I know it's early. What has he brought to the program, Coach Woodley?
Yeah, it's been interesting, and in a good way. I want to start by saying, first off, I've loved our old staff. We've won 18 of our last 19 games. They got that thing turned around. State did a great job. We've won back-to-back Pioneer Football League championships, and then the Northern Iowa opportunity came for Coach Stepsis, and he took it and took his staff with him. They had a certain way of doing things. Coach Woodley's come on and hired a terrific staff. I am so impressed with the guys he's brought in to coach. You know, they come from bigger schools. Our defensive coordinator, Adam Cox, was at Iowa. Kyle Kemp, the offensive coordinator, was at Iowa State. Our offensive line coach was at Iowa. And so they kind of have a little different way of doing things. And the one thing that I've noticed more than anything is how much more physical we practice. They're not easy practices. And they've had team meetings about it, and they've talked about, you know, maybe lightening up a little bit, but Joe doesn't want to do that. Joe's a tough guy, and Joe practices tough. And I think that really has paid dividends for us. You know, in the past, we've played South Dakota State and just got slobber knocked, let's be honest. But last week, we hung in there physically with them much longer than we have in the past. They wore us out in the fourth quarter. I'll give you that. But, you know, first three quarters, late in the third, that game's 28-18. And physically, we were holding up. And we have not ever done that against South Dakota State. So Joe's been terrific, great guy to work with, terrific guy. And he's just brought a level of toughness that we haven't had in the past.
Yeah, you talk about hanging in there with South Dakota State. Have you noticed, did you notice anything after the game different than other times? Maybe that these guys, after a game like that, have a bit more confidence? I mean, it's been a confident bunch, right? You talked about a couple of conference championships, right. But do you feel like there just is more confidence in the building?
Yes. I think there's just simply a higher level of expectation, and that comes with winning back-to-back conference championships. And we have a pretty veteran team. I think we've got 8 seniors on defense. So these guys expect to win. But we've gone from hoping to win to thinking we're going to win to knowing we're going to win to now believing we're going to win. It's kind of a process teams go through. When you go through a bad run, you got to build it back up. And we've done that. But now guys go in, you know, instead of – having a negative thought process going into South Dakota State, I think everybody kind of looked at it as a great opportunity. You know, let's go see what happens. Let's throw it around. Maybe they're a little disinterested after an overtime game, a big win over Montana State and Bozeman. Maybe they'll be a little flat. Let's go in there and throw it around, see what happens. And man, we get the opening kickoff, 5 plays, 75 yards. We're ahead 7-0. And I think that really kind of, you know, amplified the belief in what we're doing. And I think that's pretty obvious with us. We go into games now with a little different mental attitude, and I think it's paying big dividends.
You know, you look at the last couple of games, obviously the only two for Drake, game number one, QB1 goes out with an injury, insert the second quarterback, and then it's South Dakota State. He gets injured down to quarterback number three, and still guys playing at a really high level. That appears to be a very deep position for Drake right now.
Everybody has their breaking point, and I think we're pretty close. I mean, Chase Spellman came in as a transfer in the portal and is our best quarterback. No question, okay? Chase is the best guy we got. X has been around 4 years. Xavier Washington gets his first start last 9 plays before he goes down with the ankle. Plug in Logan Ngawa, who's a freshman. Joe likes to joke that 5 months ago he was picking out his tux to go to prom, and now he's quarterbacking against the number two team in the country. So, but we're kind of near the breaking point. I'll be honest with you. I don't know who's all going to play quarterback on Saturday. I really don't. I was at practice yesterday, and I can't tell you. I don't think X is going to play with the ankle. Chase, I don't know about. I think we're going to start Logan. The backup will probably be another guy who's taken less than 10 more snaps than me at quarterback, and that's Tate Platty. He'll probably be the backup. And then we have another true freshman who's running scout team this week. So We're about the breaking point. If something were to happen to Logan, it can't stay at the level it is. We're very blessed with Logan. You know, here's a guy from Georgia, was recruited by the Naval Academy, and things just didn't work out. And we kind of came in late and got him, got his number one high school receiver as well. I've got a commitment from another kid down there. Drake recruiting Georgia, right? Makes a lot of sense. But, you know, Logan's a good player, and he's going to be a terrific player. He's tough. He's got a little swag to him. And he'll do fine Saturday. But we're kind of at the breaking point. We start tailing off pretty quick after Logan, to be honest with you.
Now, certainly, they're going to need that that off week coming up before they get into Pioneer Football League play, which obviously is always the focus and the goal. A couple of Pioneer Football League titles. You look at this team. Can it win a third straight? And where's the confidence in kind of going on a little run here?
Well, I'll tell you what. I've told a lot of people this, and I'll announce it to all the Coyote fans and everyone, but I firmly believe if you don't get us this year, you're not going to get us for a while. I mean, Spellman's got three more years, and our recruiting class, I can't compliment Joe Woodley enough. You know, he took the job in December. Recruiting's almost to bed in December. He brought in about a dozen guys from high school, along with the transfer guys. We basically had two recruiting classes this year. Spring ball, we had 40 some players at the end of spring ball. So we had to replenish a lot of numbers, and Joe's done a terrific job. We've got really good freshmen. We've got really good redshirt freshmen. I expect us to be active in the transfer portal again. If you don't get us this year, you're not going to get us. Now, Presbyterian from South Carolina, they're 3-0 to start the season. They've got wins over Mercer, who I think was 11th or 12th. They beat Mercer down in Macon, Georgia. Came back and beat Furman, played a D2 school last week and thumped them pretty good. They're good. They're very good. But the thing is, we don't play them. They're not on the schedule. You don't play two teams in our league every year. They're one of the two teams we don't play. And then the other team that they don't play is San Diego. So they've got a golden schedule, a good team. They're going to be tough to beat, Presbyterian. But you know what? I'll take my chances. We've won 18 and 19 Pioneer Football League games. And I think we've got a strong, strong chance, as I call it, the repeat. And I think we've got a chance.
I know it's early, obviously, just a couple of games in with a week off. But as you look at it right now, what's the strength of this football team?
Our defense, really strong up front. Our front seven is really good. I believe we have the best corner duo in our league. With Kamani Wilson and Isaiah Bragg, the transfer from Northern Illinois. And then our safeties, who I think are not as strong as our corners, they both played great the other night, and Ben Wilson led us in tackles with 10. He had a game-high 10 tackles in the game. So our defense is our strength. Good up front. Jacob Owen is a really good player. He's better than we deserve. Jacob should be on scholarship somewhere. I don't know if he's a Power 5 player, but he's really good. Korzenowski's solid. Gene Blaylock's got a – you know, when Gene wants to play, Gene's a really good player. And then you've got Anderson and Shaq at the defensive end positions. They're good athletes. We're better athletically than we've been in the past. So we can now run around a little bit with teams and throw it around defensively, and that's the strength of our team. I also think we have a sneaky good wide receiver group. You know, Hank Foley's come along. He's got three touchdown catches already in two games. Jackson Voth, the transfer from Kansas State's a really good player. He's also a very good punt returner. Unfortunately, last week, South Dakota State never punted, so he didn't get a chance to show anything. But he's maybe the best punt returner in our league. So, wide receiver group with Ty Shoes, who's got 100 career catches or something like that. That's a really good group too. But yeah, we got a little depth at quarterback. We've got good wide receivers. Running backs are fine. O-line, very thin. I'll just let everybody know that. A couple guys are dinged, and they're trying to play through some things. And We just haven't been able to build depth there yet. I think we will, but that's kind of the weakness of the team, really, overall, would be O-line. And Coach Griffith's going to yell at me if he hears this, but when I look at all the position groups, that's the one that's probably the thinnest and least experienced. So I'll just throw some facts there to back my belief. But, you know, they played fine last week. They bit him in the ankles as hard as they could. And that's all really you can ask of old linemen who are not as big and you know, not recruited scholarship athletes. So they gave a great effort, bit him in the ankles all they could. And we rushed the ball okay last week. And so we're not bad. But defense is the strength of the team, no question.
I know you'll obviously remember last year when this program, Drake, went to Eastern Washington and got a very big win in overtime out there. Right now you come to South Dakota, a team that has had its ups and downs so far here early in the season and still trying to find its identity at the moment. What has to happen on Saturday if Drake is going to come to South Dakota and, you know, maybe pull that upset like it did at Eastern Washington last year?
Well, there's two things. First off, we have to get off to a good start. We have to find a way to stay in the game. It can't be 28-7 at halftime. We're not coming back from three touchdowns in the second half. So you got to find a way to start well and stay in the football game. And, you know, it was 21-10 last week at halftime. That wasn't great, but we had hung in there. We'd moved the ball. We scored in both quarters. That's got to happen again. And then the second thing is, last week there were about three or four plays that South Dakota State was able to score points off of. We shanked a punt, gave them great field position. They took it right down the field and scored. We threw the pick, led to a field goal. Those kind of things, those three or four plays in the game, we have to try to eliminate where we beat ourselves instead of making the opponent beat us. And so avoid costly turnovers and negative big plays and hang in the game. And if we can do that and get this thing to the fourth quarter, anything can happen. And that's kind of, you know, at Eastern Washington, we made some stupid plays. We forced them to punt late in the game. We had 12 men on the field, but they couldn't take advantage of it. And so we're not perfect. We are going to make mistakes, but the price tag with those mistakes will definitely affect the outcome of the game. If we can get away cheap, we're okay. If it's costly for us, then we're in trouble. And I think those are really the two keys. We've got to tackle a little better. We didn't tackle great against South Dakota State, but second game off a bye week, I can understand those things a little bit. Got to tackle a little better, but it's basically stay in the game and not make costly mistakes.
Well, we're looking forward to it. These two teams have played plenty over the last recent memory, I should say, and we'll see what happens on Saturday. Chuck, thanks for the time. Greatly appreciate you. Enjoy the trip, and we'll see you on Saturday.
You betcha. And by the way, none of those memories are good for me. I just want to point that out. You have handed it to us several times, and I'm actually looking forward to Saturday to see how we stack up again this year with you guys. But after Saturday, good luck to the Yotes, man. I hope you have a great year.
That is Chuck Reed. He is the radio play-by-play voice of the Drake Bulldogs football team and giving us all the insight on Drake. So we certainly appreciate his time, as always, and the conversation about Drake. Really excited to see kind of how things play out. And obviously, there's a great coaching connection here with Travis Johansson and Joe Woodley. And some of you know it, some of you may not. But both were coaching at Grandview, an NAIA school in Des Moines, Iowa, under Joe's dad, I should say, Mike Woodley, who's a great coach. He built the program there. He was the first head coach in program history. They started it from scratch at Grandview. 2008, I think, was their first season. They won a national championship in 2013, so they had that thing on a great upward trajectory right away. Travis Johansson was on that coaching staff. He coached there for six seasons. Joe Woodley was there for a number of years under his dad and then got this opportunity to go up to Division I and coach at Drake after Drake's coach, Todd Sepsis, went to Northern Iowa, and he's in his first season there as well. And then the other part of this whole connection, Mike Woodley, actually started the Mount Marty football program in Yankton, which just is coming off of its biggest win in program history last week in an upset of Northwestern. But Mike Woodley was the first head coach at Mount Marty. He never coached a game there, but he was tabbed to be the guy who would build the program, right? Put the blocks in place, if you will, for this program. And before the first game, he stepped away, and that was always kind of their plan. But Mike Woodley started that program at Mount Marty, just down the road from the University of South Dakota. And so the Woodleys, Johansson's very, very connected. But as Coach said on Monday night, make no mistake, we want that win on Saturday. Big thanks to Chuck Reed for joining us here on the Yotecast podcast. Time now to take a look at what is going on in Coyote Athletics. South Dakota volleyball team coming off of that week where they had a home weekend. They get another home weekend this weekend when they welcome in Villanova and Wichita State and Drake into the South Dakota Classic. The volleyball team will play on Thursday as they take on the Villanova Wildcats in the first game. Softball's fall game against Mount Marty was adjusted from Wednesday to Thursday this week, so that is scheduled for Thursday. Friday, women's tennis will be at the Gopher Invite in Minneapolis. Cross country at the GRIAC Invitational in Minneapolis as well. The men's cross country team is ranked number 15 in the Midwest rankings here that just came out this week. Also Friday night, volleyball takes on Wichita State. Then we move on to Saturday. Women's tennis continues at the Gopher Invite. Volleyball is set to take on Drake. That follows football against Drake. Football against Drake at 1 o'clock. Volleyball against Drake at 5 p.m. Part of the South Dakota Classic is that matchup, and that's what's going on here through Saturday. Then on Sunday, women's tennis competes again at the Gopher Invite, and women's soccer is set to take on the University of Wyoming in Vermilion. So lots of things going on here throughout the course of the week and into the weekend. And then Monday, both men's and women's golf teams are set to get underway with a new tournament. Women's golf will be in Columbia, Missouri. Men's golf team will be in West Des Moines, Iowa at the Zach Johnson Invitational. Lots of things going on in Coyote Athletics. As always, check out the results and stay up to date at goyotes.com. Big thanks to Chuck Reed, Matt Walsh for joining the Yotecast podcast this week, and that's going to do it for us this week. I'm John Thayer. Have yourself a great weekend. As always, stay safe and go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to Yotecast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Coyote Sports Network.